Hello, this is Anvati. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Friday, March 28th, and coming up in today's episode. Row over Ramji Lal Suman's traitor statement escalates to Rajya Sabha ruckus. Supreme Court's big observation on freedom of speech and police action related to it. A chilling murder case from Bengaluru and massive earthquake in Myanmar kills at least 20. The row over Ramji Lal Suman's alleged problematic statements against past Hindu Maharajas have rocked the Rajya Sabha today. Vice President Jagdeep Dhankar today clarified that even as Ramji Lal Suman's controversial remarks were removed from the House proceedings, he still kept spreading similar statements elsewhere in media interviews. Meanwhile, Leader of the Opposition and Congress Chief Mallika Arjun Kharge has said, and I quote, "I respect you all and no one here is a historian. However, a disputable comment by someone cannot be the basis of demolishing someone's house," unquote. The controversy started when Samajwadi Party MP Ramji Lal Suman had referred to 16th century Rajput king Rana Sanga as a traitor earlier this week. Angered by his words, right-wing group Karni Sena did a gherao of his residence in Agra, threatening to tear it down with bulldozers. After being stopped by the police, the group turned violent, allegedly leading to a lathi charge. ANI footage showed mobs raising saffron flags and chanting slogans. Cars were also vandalized, chairs were broken. Mr. Suman later defended his comments, stating it is a historical fact. In the parliament today, BJP demanded an apology from Suman, a public apology, leading to a heated uproar in the house, which was ultimately adjourned for 30 minutes. Bharatiya Janata Party members have also sought strict action against Mr. Suman for his controversial comments. In Rajya Sabha, Chairman Jagdeep Dhankar addressed the turmoil, urging members to reflect on their actions after things got really heated. He said, and I quote, "There is always an occasion when we are carried away by emotion, but I wish to make it very clear, sentiments of the people are very precious," unquote. Parliamentary Affairs Minister Kiran Rijiju also condemned Mr. Suman's remarks, stating, quote, "Even if those words have been expunged from the records, they are still being circulated widely on social media and news platforms. How can anyone accept such remarks?" unquote. He stressed that the tone and language used by Mr. Suman were completely unacceptable. As the proceedings resumed, BJP MPs began chanting slogans, and the issue of Mr. Suman's statement dominated the session largely. BJP member Dr. Radha Mohan Das Agarwal declared that they would not back down until both Suman and Congress leader Mallikarjun Kharge issued public apologies. Mr. Kharge in turn condemned the violence against Suman, arguing, quote, "It does not mean that we take law into our hands and indulge in violence at someone's house," unquote. He also said that a Dalit man's house was being threatened. Later, Bharatiya Janata Party members accused Mr. Kharge of turning the issue into a caste-based debate. Rijiju condemned Kharge's remarks, linking the attack to caste, insisting that this was not a religious or caste-based case. Even though Karni Sena members have been protesting against Mr. Suman for insulting someone belonging to their caste as well as their lineage. As political leaders across the country are chastising Kunal Kamra for his alleged abuse of freedom of speech for making political jokes, the Supreme Court of India has asked police not to be too overzealous in curbing instances of free speech, especially when it comes to political parodies and jokes. Police are bound to uphold rights of citizens, including freedom of speech, the Supreme Court noted in a recent ruling, and laid down guidelines for police regarding the protection of the freedom of speech. The observation came as the top court dismissed an FIR against Congress MP Imran Pratapgarhi. He was booked earlier for his Instagram post featuring a poem titled "Ae Khoon Ke Pyaase Baat Suno" or "O Blood Thirsty People, Listen to Me." A bench comprising Justices Abhay S. Oka and Ujjal Bhuiya held that no offence was made out, criticising the overzealousness of the Gujarat police in initiating action against Mr. Pratapgarhi. It added, quote, Courts must be at the forefront to protect freedom of speech and expression," unquote. The Supreme Court said the restrictions on speech must be reasonable, not fanciful, stressing that Article 19-2 of the Constitution cannot overshadow the freedoms guaranteed under Article 19-1. Quote, without freedom of expression of thoughts and views, it is impossible to lead a dignified life as guaranteed under Article 21 of the Constitution. In a healthy democracy, differing views must be countered with counter speech, not suppression, unquote. The court said, adding, literature, including poetry, drama, films, stand-up comedy, satire, and art, make life more meaningful. While pronouncing the hotly debated verdict, Justice Abhay Oka said, quote, police officers being citizens are bound to uphold the rights. When an offence under Section 196 of Bhartiya Nyaya Samhita is taken, it cannot be judged as per the standard of weak minds or those who always perceive criticism as an attack on them. This has to be judged on the point of courageous minds. We have held that when an offence is alleged on the basis of spoken or uttered words, Section 173.3 of BNS has to be resorted to in order to protect fundamental rights. The remarks come in the middle of a massive political row involving stand-up comedian Kunal Kamra and what he said in his comic set about Maharashtra Deputy Chief Minister, allegedly, Eknath Shinde. Clips from Mr. Kamra's set went viral on social media, leading to FIRs being registered against the comic, and the venue in Mumbai's Khar where he performed the set was eventually vandalized. From Maharashtra Chief Minister to local leaders, all have commented that freedom of speech had limits in the light of Kamra's political satire and jokes. Mr. Devendra Fadnavis said, and I quote, no one has the right to insult anyone. He can write poems or satire on us, but if he insults us, action will be taken. Don't be shy. These things will not be tolerated in Maharashtra, unquote. On the other hand, FIR against Mr. Pratapgarhi was filed on January 3rd at Jamnagar Police Station by an advocate's clerk, alleging that the poem in his Instagram post incited unrest and disturbed social harmony. The Gujarat High Court had earlier refused to quash the FIR, criticizing Mr. Pratapgarhi for not acting responsibly as a lawmaker. Mr. Pratapgarhi claimed the poem was authored by renowned poets Faiz Ahmed Faiz or Habib Jalib. He submitted screenshots from AI tool ChatGPT to support his claim. However, the prosecution had then argued that his status as a parliamentarian required him to exercise greater caution on social media. Even as the shocking and gruesome Meerut murder case where a wife killed and dismembered her husband is still being investigated, another case of spousal killing has shocked Bengaluru. A woman's body has been found stuffed in a suitcase at a residence near Hulimavu. Gauri Anil Sambikar, 32, was allegedly murdered by her husband Rakesh, who is from Maharashtra. The man has been taken into custody by the Pune police, according to sources. Reports said Rakesh Sambikar had contacted Gauri's parents and confessed to the crime over a phone call. Following a tip-off on this from the Maharashtra police, the local police had reached the spot and launched an investigation. Even the forensic crime teams were employed. Quote, at around 5:30 p.m., we received a call at the control room about a suspected hanging case. When the Hulimavu police reached the house, they found the door locked. After gaining entry, they found a suitcase in the bathroom, unquote, said Sara Fatima, senior officer of local police. Forensics team then opened the suitcase and found the body. Quote, the body of the woman is intact and not in pieces, as usually is in the case of suitcase murders. But there are severe injury marks. We will know the extent and nature of the injuries once we receive the post-mortem report. The police, she added, initially drew a blank when they tried to trace her husband. Later they were informed that he was detained. We have now registered a case of murder, she said. Rakesh Shambikar had fled to Pune following the murder, the police said. However, swift coordination between Hulimavu and Pune police enabled after tracking his cell records led to the man's arrest. A team from Bengaluru has now left for Pune to bring the suspect back for further interrogation and legal proceedings. An investigation is fired up into the motive of the crime, which is currently unknown. The couple, according to the police officer, got married 2 years ago. They are from Maharashtra and had moved to Bengaluru 2 months ago for work. He works as a project manager at an IT company while she was a housewife and currently looking for a job. At least 20 people have been killed, hundreds possibly injured, and fate of more than hundreds is still unknown after a massive earthquake in Myanmar, local media reported. A powerful 7.7 magnitude earthquake struck near the city of Saigon in Myanmar, causing widespread devastation across the region. The tremor hit at 12:50 p.m. local time on Friday, with the epicenter located just 16 kilometers northwest of Saigon. A strong aftershock of 6.8 followed shortly after. One of the most concerning areas is Naypyidaw, the capital of Myanmar, where a 1,000-bed hospital is believed to be a mass casualty area. The hospital, one of the largest in the city, was severely damaged, and footage from the scene shows injured people being treated on the streets with IV drips hanging from gurneys as families comfort their loved ones. The quake was also felt strongly in Thailand. In Bangkok, 43 workers have been trapped after a 30-story government building under construction collapsed. The building located that Chatuchak district was reduced to rubble, and rescue teams are on site, with reports suggesting hundreds may have been injured. Quote, "When I arrived to inspect the site, I heard people calling for help, saying, 'Help me,'" unquote, Warapat Suktai, deputy police chief of Bangsu district, told AFP. Quote, "We estimate that hundreds of people are injured, but we are still determining the exact number of casualties," unquote, he added. In Mandalay, around 24 kilometers from Saigon, several buildings have collapsed, including a bridge over the Irrawaddy River. There are fears that more people may be trapped under the rubble, and images from the area show extensive damage to both the airport and the nearby monastery near Myanmar's border with Thailand. In response, Thai Prime Minister Penkorm Shinwatra declared a state of emergency in the capital. Tremors were felt across the region, reaching China's Yunnan province, where a magnitude of 7.9 was reported, and parts of Bangladesh and India reported feeling slight tremors. Videos from the affected areas in Thailand show people fleeing in panic, with some capturing terrifying scenes of water splashing violently in pools, as though creating mini tsunamis there. In the popular tourist city of Chiang Mai, residents were seen running into the streets in fear, and buildings, tall skyscrapers, could be seen shaking like small plants in a storm. The impact of the earthquake has left many areas in shock, with fears rising over the number of casualties and those still trapped in the rubble. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has meanwhile offered assistance to affected nations as recovery efforts continue. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.